Jesus, we thank you that you are present with us, that you are in all things, that you hold all things together, that you are our very high priest who hears our prayers and answers. You've also promised, though, that you've poured out your Holy Spirit upon us, the Holy Spirit who is at work interceding even now with groanings even too deep for words. I pray that this message, this sermon that is breathed out and proclaimed by you would strengthen each of us as you've called us to follow you. As we are your disciples. In your name we pray. Amen. So the title of the sermon is Praying is Believing. And the idea behind that is something that, it's a Latin phrase, lex orandi, lex credendi. And a lot of you, I know when these things come up, you say, I remember that when I learned that, lex orandi, lex credendi. Well, maybe, unless you went to the seminary or just had a attraction to Latin, you say, what does this mean? Well, it means the law of prayer is the law of belief. Or maybe said another way, it is the things that we believe and say, so head and heart, then that we speak out, the things that we believe and say, they should, and they do, reinforce what we do. And then you could flip that around, you could say, well, the things that we do, they reinforce what we believe and say. There should be a consistency, an interconnectedness, an integratedness, a oneness, a wholeness. Another way to talk about this as Jesus' followers as well as discipleship. Discipleship is simply following Jesus where he leads. Discipleship, and Pastor Luke touched on this last week when we were in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It was Mary and Martha, and discipleship is first about receiving the gifts that God gives, and it is about listening. And we, not only in the same way that we hear that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light when we're baptized into Christ, that faith, believing, and trusting in Christ comes by hearing, that it was Mary and Martha who were there, and Martha made the best choice because she sat at the feet of Jesus and she listened. Pastor Luke called this, said that Mary took the position of a disciple. Jesus said she chose the good portion. So we move from discipleship as listening and receiving to there is another component to this. And then what comes up in Luke chapter 11 with respect to prayer is then how do we talk to and with God? And Jesus then teaches his disciples. And it says that Jesus was praying in a certain place. The disciples see him praying. He's talking to his Father. And when he finished, well, that was nice of them to wait until he finished. They didn't interrupt him. They said, hey. You know, we have noticed that John the Baptist, he has disciples too, and he has taught them to pray. We want you to teach us how to pray. And so I'm going to move here from now, the very beginning, I'm going to back up to about verse 13, where Jesus ends the portion that Pastor Luke just read, and he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That this greatest gift is the Heavenly Father giving the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The Holy Spirit who empowers our prayers, who breathes life into us, who intercedes, who carries our prayers. So not only that we can speak to God and he hears, but then we hear what God says. There is an attitude and a posture of prayer. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Come, Lord, and listen to me. Even if I am in the pit of darkness and cut off, I trust that you are here with me and you are listening. That you, if all I have is a groan or a whimper or just maybe it's silence, that you would interpret that and hear an answer. And Jesus tells this parable. Well, here it is. I don't even know my own slides. So, how much more the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Jesus tells this parable, and this is incidentally the image that's on the front of the news and notes. If you don't have one of those, take one of those home with you today. He tells this parable about this man who goes up to his neighbor, not in the middle of the day, but he waits until midnight or maybe 2 a.m., and he says, oh no, I've got some people who have come to visit me, and whether he knew they were coming or not, he is ill-prepared, and he doesn't have any food. And so he goes to his neighbor at midnight or at 2 a.m., his neighbor who is a father father who has young children, and maybe they all sleep in one large room, and he's finally gotten them to bed, and we know that that's really important. I know this. I know that Mrs. Lori Forgy knows this. I know those of you who are over at Little Wings, there's a sign on the door between 1 and 3 p.m. Do not ring the doorbell. And if you knock, knock ever so gently. We do not want to wake the children because it's hard enough to get them to go to sleep. And so this guy shows up in the middle of the night asking for bread as if it's kind of a crazy thing anyway. And then he's going to wake the children. And Jesus says, it's not because they had a relationship and they were friends. He says the reason that the person inside will answer him is because of the ESV translates this impudence, which is not a good thing. Not really. Because of his shamelessness. Because of his boldness. Have you no shame to show up in the middle of the night? And he says, because you were that bold, that's why I will answer your prayer. And so Jesus, when the disciples say, well, teach us how to pray, he says initially, well, this is what you should pray, and this is how you should pray, and the attitude and the posture. And then Jesus expands on this. He says, ask and seek, knock. It will be given to you. There are no caveats. There are no stipulations. There are no conditions. And I know because I have been well catechized and because in all humility, I know that, well, look, ultimately, it's not my will that's going to be done. It's God's will that's going to be done. And so I am so careful when I pray for things. Well, look, this is what I want, God. Now, I realize that it's your will, not mine. He says, forget about that. Just ask. Just ask. Okay, well, I can do that. It sounds to me what Jesus is conveying to his disciples and conveying to his disciples gathered here this morning is that God wants to give. He desires to give. He is gracious, and he gives in abundance. The Lord gives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Lord gives even to perhaps impudent, shameless people like you and me who ask sometimes without ever even thinking. He gives. Because praying is believing. Or lex orandi, lex credendi. It will be on the test if you really want to get an A in this class. But you don't need it in order to be saved. Praying is believing. Believing is praying. The teaching and the doing, the thinking, the believing, the trusting, all of it goes together. And what we pray is actually reflective of our deeper understanding about who God is, about who we think, who we believe God is, about what we think, what we believe and trust that he can and he will do in the world. And I could revise that even more specifically, what he can and will do in his world, because this is his world, believe it or not. And on the other hand, though, and I have to check myself on this, if I say one thing and do another, then I'm not really consistent. So something's got to give. So if this is how we are to pray, boldly, shamelessly, what have you prayed for today? Well, you had a prayer, a broader prayer, a collect, technically, a collect. Pastor Luke just prayed it. But what have you prayed for today? Did you pray? Have I prayed to the God who wants to give you all things? For instance, we could step through a few examples. We pray, and we will pray in this service later today, for healing. And when we pray for healing, we are making a confession of faith. We are confessing on the one hand, in the same way that we do in the creeds, that God created our bodies. That's one part of our confession when we pray to God for healing. And on the other hand, we are also confessing that not only did he create our bodies, but that he can and will heal our bodies. If it is his will in the here and now, but we are also praying in the now and in the not yet, that he will raise up bodies that are even asleep in the ground. When we pray for rulers and people in positions of authority, whether you voted for them or not, whether you were happy with the people that were appointed or not, we're trusting that God works somehow, even through those people. We could put a little more negative spin on this. If we are inclined to only or primarily just pray for ourselves and people that we like, that we don't want to pray for our enemies, are we not then saying that we don't think, that we don't trust, that we don't believe that God could possibly love those people? Or we could be a little more positive, that he could change them into someone that we could love. Or I could really turn this. He could change me into someone who could love them. If we refuse to pray for peace, because look, there are just some things that you got to stand your ground. There will never be peace. If we refuse to pray for that, are we not then saying that we don't think, that we don't trust, that we don't believe that God could and will bring about ultimate harmony? But here's the thing. Let's say you haven't yet prayed today. I want you to know, I want you to believe, I want you to trust that you have a Heavenly Father who wants to hear from you. And don't just take it because I said it. It's because Jesus himself says it. That you have a Heavenly Father who wants to hear from you. See, Jesus himself, he says he is a Father who not only can love and does love, he also can be loved. See, there's an intimacy. It's a two-way street. Not only can he love, but he can be loved. That he is in heaven, that he rules over not just one little corner or place, but he rules over all of creation. And he can and he does act in the very details of our lives. Even the things that, so this seems like it was meant for evil, for bad, he is at work there. That said another way, that God doesn't waste anything, that he uses all things. We confess, we trust. Jesus says that he has a kingdom, that he reigns, and it is already happening in the here and the now. Believe it or not, but there is something on the horizon that is even better, that is yet to come. Well, Lord, have mercy. We know that in the here and now, there are things that are completely upside down. Lord, have mercy, because there are things that hit close to home, week in and week out, just not even a week ago, another shooting at a mall in Greenwood. Lord, have mercy. But he is a God who gives and he gives and he gives. He gives daily bread, clothing and shoes, house and home, family and friends. He gives and he gives. He gives forgiveness of sins. He sets the prisoners free. He not only sets you free, but he sets you free to free others. He gives and he gives and he gives protection from temptation. He gives and he gives and he gives ultimate peace and deliverance and salvation. But how much, or how can we understand the breadth and the depth of how much God the Father gives? Well, the answer is the same. Look to the cross. God loved the world so that he gave his only Son, the lost, to save. To save. Jesus, the one who saves, but also has taught us to pray, who prays for us and with us. Jesus, who said, and He's poured out His Holy Spirit, we cannot pray apart from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans, that St. Paul says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our, not in our strength, but in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit is here interceding with groanings even too deep for words. And then it builds to this crescendo where Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And you know the answer. Well, no one can be against us. He, the good and gracious God who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him, and note the words there, graciously give us all things? Graciously give us all things. The Lord gives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Jesus says to these earthly fathers, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father who gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him, the Holy Spirit who is the ultimate gift, the Holy Spirit who is here at work from the beginning of our life in Christ to even in the here and now, who carries these words from my mouth to your ear, words that are all about Jesus, the Holy Spirit who creates and keeps us in the faith, the Holy Spirit who gives peace and comfort that passes understanding, the Holy Spirit who works and moves in mysterious ways, who is always and strangely, blessedly present. The Lord gives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you're familiar with those words from Job, I left something out. I said the Lord gives, blessed be the name of the Lord. But Job says this, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the seventh petition, so the Lord's Prayer is broken into seven petitions in Luther's Small Catechism. The petition is a request. The final petition gathers things together, deliver us from evil. And some of you maybe remember this from your memory work. We pray in this petition that, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And then notice this, and finally, when our last hour comes, here's this word again, give us a blessed end. That He would give us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow, or maybe you memorize it as vale of tears, to Himself in heaven. That He would give us a blessed end. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. On Monday, I called a blessed saint of this congregation, Arlene Mazura, and she's doing well. She's recovering from some cancer treatments. The latest scan says she's cancer-free. And when I was talking to Arlene, I thought, you know, I want to call my grandma. And some of you have met my grandma. She's been here. She just turned 99 years old on May 12th. And grandma is someone that for about the last 5 years, at the very least, we have celebrated the last Christmas. We've celebrated the last Easter, the last Mother's Day, the last birthday. Every time, it's the last one. Grandma is someone who, if you're familiar with St. Timothy, Timothy's grandmother and mother were instrumental in his life, and the fact that he's a Christian, that my grandma, Margaret, was like the Lois and Eunice, and I can't remember which one is Timothy's grandma. Do you know, Pastor Luke? Lois. She was Lois, my mom, Eunice. I'm Timothy. Like, I am a Christian in part because of my grandma. My grandma can confess, boy, The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My grandma was blessed with a faithful husband, Dale. They were married for over 50 years, and then suddenly on April 18th, 1986, Grandpa died of a heart attack at 66 years old. My grandma then, who was blessed with a son and a daughter, in 1989, she buried her son, Jim. My grandma, though, not only the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, she has been blessed with two fantastic grandchildren. One grandson in particular, who's probably like one of the best ever. His name's Troy Countryman. You ought to meet him sometime. My grandma, though, in the fact she buried a husband, she buried a son, she was blessed with another faithful husband, and Lord have mercy, she buried him a few years ago. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A few years ago, it was probably 4 years ago or so, I was with my mom and grandma. It was just the three of us. It was strange. Grandma has generally been really healthy, but about 4 years ago, she was struggling with some health concerns, and it was just me and my mom and my grandma, and I did something that I'd done a number of times, but this was different. I did the commendation of the dying for my grandma, and it was really cool, and it was hard. And part of the commendation of the dying is to do the Nunc Dimittis, which is the Song of Simeon, which is, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. And it's like, Grandma, you don't need to die today, but let's just go ahead and do this anyway. You can depart in peace. And she didn't depart. We went through the last Christmas 4 or 5 times, the last Easter 4 or 5 times. So I called Grandma finally. A couple weeks ago, she had a stroke. And she was doing okay, kind of weak. I called her on Thursday night. My mom said, here's her number. And I called her. And I wasn't sure because she'd had a stroke. I wonder what it's going to be like to talk to her. Will she be able to talk to me? Well, clearly it was Grandma, and she was in great spirits. And I could understand 100% of the joyful emotion that she had despite her circumstance. And she has lived in an apartment despite being 99 years old, and she's pretty sure she might have to move into the health center. But she was fine with things. And I said, well, Grandma, well, Lord have mercy. This is kind of a message. Said, yeah, Lord have mercy. And this is when it was apparent she'd had a stroke because her speech was a little garbled. But boy, it was a great conversation. Apparently later Thursday night, she talked to my cousin Shane, who's 11 years older than me. He lives in Las Vegas, had a great conversation. My mom and my grandma had a great week. And then Friday morning, I was awakened by a phone call from my mom and my grandma. Is asleep in Jesus. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The grandma had suffering in her life, but she, along with Mary, knew that Jesus is the greatest gift. She'd had suffering and she had prayed and she was content. And if this is my last Christmas, that's okay. I'll get to be with Jesus. And we were okay with that. We'll see you again someday. But the Lord answered our prayer. Lord, have mercy, because it was hard for Grandma these last few days. It was hard for my mom, who was the only living child left. And my grandma, this was a burden my mom bore. My grandma at her worst would say, I really miss your brother. It was with Jesus. My mom got the best and worst of my grandma, probably. And yet at the end, still loving and caring for one another. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gave Grandma a blessed end. She died in her sleep. But here's where the law of prayer and the law of belief, they come together, that what praying is believing, that worshiping is believing, that we are going to come together. We're going to go up to Fort Wayne on Friday to Concordia Lutheran Church, and we're going to have Grandma's funeral. And in Grandma's funeral, we are going to remind one another that all these things that Grandma has prayed and taught and confessed, that they are true in the here and now for Grandma, but they're also true for us. That despite evidence to the contrary, that Christ reigns, that Jesus, the firstborn of the dead, holds on to Grandma and all those saints who have gone before. That because Christ is risen, that one day death will ultimately be swallowed up in victory. But he, the risen Lord who reigns, holds on to Grandma, but also holds on to you and me. And we will sing, I know that my
Redeemer lives. That my grandma's Redeemer lives. And that funeral service will be all about Jesus, the one who called Marguerite Marie out of darkness into his marvelous light. We will trust that the Holy Spirit is there and we have peace and joy that passes understanding. We have tears and that we weep with Easter in our tears that yes, death, it still sucks. It still stinks and stings. But it's only, I heard this at the youth gathering, it's only a middle word. The final word is Christ. Who just in the same way that he was there and Job could confess ahead of time, I know that my Redeemer lives, who called Lazarus out of his tomb, will call you and me out of our tombs, who holds on to us. The one who has taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, blessed be your name, is the one who ultimately delivers and saves. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be Christ, who is at the center of our prayers, who is the one who is our song of love, who reigns here and now, and who will come again. To him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep our hearts and minds in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.